This is a bhajan from Prarthana by Narottam Das Thakur. O Lord Hari, I have spent my life uselessly. Having obtained a human birth and having not worshipped Radha Krishna, I have knowingly drunk poison. The treasure of divine love in Goloka Vrindavan has descended as the congregational chanting of Lord Hari's holy names. Why did my attraction for that chanting never come about? Day and night, my heart burns from the fire of the poison of worldliness, and I have not taken the means to relieve it. Lord Krishna, who is the son of the king of Vraja, became the son of Shachi, Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram became Nitai. The holy name delivered all those souls who were lowly and wretched. The two sinners Jagai and Madhai are evidence of this. O Lord Krishna, son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of Vrishabhanu, please be merciful unto me now. Narottam Das says, O Lord, please do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet, for who is my beloved except for you? Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna. So we have been speaking on the glories of King Prataparudra and his great fortune at having received the unlimited mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We concluded yesterday's discussion by chanting the famous Gopi Geet prayers, which were chanted by the gopis when they felt separation from Krishna upon Krishna's leaving all the gopis in the midst of the Rasa Leela. When Krishna disappeared all of a sudden, the gopis became very perturbed and they wandered hither and thither in the forest looking for him. And eventually, Krishna, who had gone with Srimati Radharani, left even Srimati Radharani, and Radharani also joined the other gopis. And they were all asking the trees and the plants and the animals and the birds about where Krishna was and whether they had seen Krishna. And the gopis were completely heartbroken at that time because of not seeing Krishna in front of them. And in that state, they sang these beautiful verses that have been recorded by Srila Shukadev Goswami in the 31st chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Prataparudra was advised by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and the other devotees to chant verses from this chapter because it would particularly appeal to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu himself, being in the mood of Srimati Radharani feeling separation from Krishna, would really appreciate this sentiment. So Maharaj Prataparudra did that, and we saw the great benefit that he derived. Eventually Mahaprabhu got up and embraced King Prataparudra and pretended as if he didn't know who the king was. The king had come dressed in the guise of an ordinary Vaishnava. So when the devotees saw the great fortune of the king, they were all very, very joyful and they began to praise the king as if they had many, many mouths. By this time, all the devotees had rested. You will remember that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees had come away from the Rath Yatra to take rest in some gardens nearby at the place called Balagandi, when many, many devotees, including the king, had offered huge loads of bhoga for Jagannath's pleasure. And there was so much that it was extending for a large distance on all sides of the Rath, of the cart. Maharaj Prataparudra arranged a grand feast. He sent so many different delicious items there. Mahaprabhu personally fed all the devotees. He made them sit in line. And as he went around feeding all the devotees, nobody would start eating. And Swarup Damodar Goswami told the Lord that, "My Lord, unless you sit down and start honoring prasadam, nobody else is going to begin eating." So then Mahaprabhu sat down and everybody had prasadam up to their necks. Mahaprabhu saw that all the devotees had been very tired by the dancing and chanting. So in his usual fashion, Mahaprabhu made sure that everybody was well fed. And then he called all the beggars and fed them sumptuously as well. In the meanwhile, it was time to start the Rath Yatra once again. Now that the offerings had been over and Jagannath had also honored, or rather had tasted the bhoga to his satisfaction. And when the time came, and the godas, the servants of Jagannath, who were very strong, when they came to pull the cart could not be pulled. The godas exerted with all their might, but Jagannath's cart would not move an inch. Sometimes this happens. The Rath starts with very little effort, and sometimes even after great effort, the Rath doesn't start. That means that Jagannath wishes to just remain there for a little while longer. So Jagannath actually is the one who manipulates the movement of his cart, and sometimes it may take a long time for the Rath Yatra to get completed. Sometimes the Rath stays overnight on the road and reaches the next day to Gundicha temple. So Jagannath's leelas are mysterious and inconceivable, very difficult to understand. So here the godas could not budge, and then after being frustrated in their efforts, they abandoned their attempt. The king, meanwhile, heard about this and came to the spot, and he was in anxiety. And he was accompanied by his officers and friends. Then the king arranged for big, strong wrestlers to come there, very powerfully built. And he had them come there and try to pull the cart. But still, the cart refused to move. The Lord is not to be moved by physical power. The Lord cannot agree to be bound by physical prowess or anything material. Of course, although King Prataprudra was certainly very devotional in his attempts, but the Lord had his own plan. So even when the wrestlers were unable to move the cart even an inch, even after the king also had personally joined to pull the cart, then he ordered that elephants should be brought in. So a couple of elephants came in, and they were harnessed to the rath, and the elephants were being provoked by their trainers, mahouts, who were sitting on top and goading them, severely poking them to urge them to pull hard. The elephants pulled with all their strength, but they couldn't move the chariot. Their mahouts were prodding them very severely, and the elephants were shrieking with pain and trying to pull and pull, but still the carts were not getting pulled. The carts were not moving. And even after all this, when the carts were not moving, all the assembled people cried out, "Alas, alas." They thought there was something wrong, that the Lord is refusing now to budge from there. They were wondering whether the Lord had refused to accept their offerings and their devotion. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, who had been watching this from a distance, came up. He disengaged the elephants from the cart and he gave the ropes in the hands of his devotees. Once the elephants and the wrestlers and the others had moved out of the way and the ropes were in the hands of his devotees, he went to the rear end of the chariot. Maharaj Prataprudra was very anxiously waiting and watching as to what the Lord would do now. All the Lord did was, he went to the rear end and touched his forehead to the back of the cart. And lo and behold, the cart started rolling with a rattling sound. Everyone was struck with wonder. Even the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in whose hands the rope was held, were not actually pulling, they were just holding the rope, and it seemed that the cart was moving on its own accord because Mahaprabhu had touched his forehead to the cart from behind. And Jagannath was unable to refuse the request of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then the cart started to move forward and everyone started saying, "Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath." Everybody was also glorifying Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu for his extraordinary activity. And in a short while, the rath reached Gundicha temple. And all the people there were very happy that now finally the Rath Yatra was completed. Jaya Gaura Chandra Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Eimata Kola Hala Loke Dhanya Dhanya. The crowd made a tumultuous sound, chanting Jai Gaura Chandra, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Then the people began to chant, "Wonderful, wonderful." And seeing the greatness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prataprudra Maharaj and his ministers and friends was so moved by ecstatic love that the hairs on their body stood on end. In this way, the festivals took place in Jagannath Puri. Mahaprabhu celebrated all these festivals in great jubilation with his devotees, and the king also very, very joyfully became an integral part of these festivals. One time at Nandotsav, the day after Janmashtami, when Nanda Maharaj actually celebrated Krishna's appearance, Mahaprabhu dressed up as a cowherd boy, so did Nityananda Prabhu, and all the other Gaudiya devotees who had come, and they carried pots of yogurt and milk and so on, balancing them on sticks which were carried on their shoulders, just like the cowherds used to do in the old days. And then, having gone to a particular place, there was lots of merrymaking. And then Advaita Acharya challenged Mahaprabhu that if you're really a cowherd boy, then you should know how to twirl these sticks in the air, because the cowherds always carry these cowherding sticks. And because they carry them all the time, so they're very expert in twirling the sticks in different ways, in moving it about just like some kind of magicians. So Mahaprabhu took up the challenge and he started moving the sticks all around. Nowadays you have these martial fighters who do this kind of thing, they do. But the cowherd boys were quite expert. So Mahaprabhu started doing this and he was moving the sticks so fast, and sometimes he would twirl the stick and he would throw it up in the sky, and then he would perfectly catch it as it landed down. Sometimes he would move it behind his back, sometimes between his legs, sometimes from the front, sometimes from the back, sometimes from the sides. And he was moving so fast that the devotees were not able to see which way the stick was moving. And everybody began to glorify Mahaprabhu. And King Pratap Rudra also joined in this festival. And he was participating just like anybody else. And at the end of the festival, everyone was covered with milk and yogurt and turmeric water. So the Nandotsav festivals are usually quite boisterous. They are celebrated with a lot of enthusiasm. And in Braj, usually at that time when Nanda Maharaj actually celebrated, the gopas and gopis, they sprinkled all auspicious substances, including milk products and other things, upon each other. And in this way there was great gaiety and merriment, merrymaking. So Mahaprabhu, along with the devotees, also celebrated these festivals, and King Pratap Rudra was very happy to also join them. So the years passed. Since Mahaprabhu had come to Jagannath Puri, he had spent 2 years on his yatra to the south and to the west of the country, and he had wanted to go to Vrindavan now. As we know, the very first attempt, his mother had dissuaded him, so he had come to Jagannath Puri at her request. And when he wanted to go from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan after having returned from South India, King Pratap Rudra became a little worried. And he felt that if the Lord left Puri at this time, it would be very unfortunate for all the residents. And he requested Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai. He said, please do something. Because if the Lord leaves now, then it would be a great tragedy for all of us. We will not be able to live. My kingdom, my wealth and everything I have has no attraction for me, and the world will become completely empty if Mahaprabhu leaves Jagannath Puri to go anywhere, even if it is to Vrindavan. Therefore, your good selves may be pleased to devise some means by which the Lord may be restrained from going. So Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya were very touched by the king's deep feeling for the Lord. And they also themselves did not want Mahaprabhu to leave, because they would have felt too much separation from Krishna, from Mahaprabhu. So they went and told Mahaprabhu, that, my dear Lord, why don't you stay here for the Rath Yatra festival, celebrate the festival nicely with all the devotees, and then you go in Kartik. So Mahaprabhu agreed. He said, all right. Once the Rath Yatra festival was celebrated and Kartik approached, Mahaprabhu brought up the subject again of going to Vrindavan. And again Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai said, my Lord, when you go now, by the time you reach Vrindavan, it will become too cold. So it will not be comfortable for you. you stay here for the winter season and go at the Dol Yatra time in spring season. It will be very pleasant in Vrindavan. In this way, Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tricked the Lord repeatedly. And in this way, they kept delaying his departure, and 2 full years passed like this. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that although the Lord is supremely independent and he doesn't have to listen to anybody or take any suggestions from anyone, or he can't be prohibited by anyone from doing anything, nonetheless, out of love for his devotees, he is bound to obey their desires and to follow their desires. So every time Mahaprabhu had the desire to go to Vrindavan, he would actually come and take permission from his devotees. And now, because at the request of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, these two exalted souls, Ramananda Rai and Bhattacharya, had played tricks upon him, Mahaprabhu had not been able to go. But now the desire had become too strong. So he came to both of them and said, "Oh, you are both very great devotees of the Lord and are very worshipable for me. But please, let me go this time. For 2 years, you both have played tricks upon me. This time you please let me go." At that time, Ramananda Rai and Bhattacharya both within themselves felt very bad that they had tricked the Lord like this. So they said, "Yes, immediately, now it's the rainy season. Once the rainy season is over, then immediately you may travel. We give you our heartfelt permission." So the Lord got this permission, so he was happy. Then when the rainy season was over, he began his journey to Vrindavan. And as he was moving, he traveled. He came eventually to Bhubaneswar. And at Bhubaneswar, he had darshan of Lord Shiva. He offered his obeisances. And then he reached the outskirts of Cuttack, which was the capital city of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. There he camped at the very famous Sakshi Gopal temple. The story we have all heard many times before. And in the gardens of Sakshi Gopal temple, he decided to make his residence for the day that he was there. Ramananda Rai, who had accompanied him along with a few others till this point, hurriedly went to the king and informed him that Mahaprabhu is here and he is in Sakshi Gopal temple in the gardens. So Ramananda Rai also immediately came there. And Ramananda Rai, having called the king, was now feeling very satisfied. When the king approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu was resting underneath a bakul tree. Suni Anandita Raja Ati Shigra Aila Prabhu Dekhi Dandavata Bhumete Podila. The king was very happy to hear the news and he hastily went there. Upon seeing the Lord, he felt flat to offer him obeisances. Puna uthe puna pade pranaya vival stuti kare pulakanga pade ashrujal. Being overwhelmed with love, the king again and again got up and fell down. When he offered prayers, his whole body shivered and tears fell from his eyes. Tara bhakti dekhi prabhur tushta hoilaman uthi mahaprabhu tare koilo alingan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see the devotion of the king, and therefore he stood up and embraced him. Punastuti kori raja koroye pranam prabhu kripa ashrute tara deho hoilo snan. When the Lord embraced the king again and again offered prayers and obeisances. In this way, the Lord's mercy brought tears from the king, and the Lord's body was bathed with those tears. Finally, Ramananda Rai had to actually physically pacify the king and make him sit down. So the Lord bestowed mercy upon the king through his body, mind, and words. And Kaviraj Goswami explains the good fortune of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. আইছে তাহারে কৃপা কইল কইল গৌর রায় প্রতাপ রুদ্র সন্ত্রাতা নাম হইল যায়। শ্রী চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু শোড সচ মার্সি টু দ্য কিং দ্যাট ফ্রম দ্যাট ডে অন দ্য লর্ড বিকেম নোন অ্যাজ প্রতাপ রুদ্র সন্ত্রাতা দ্য ডিলিভারার অফ মহারাজ প্রতাপ রুদ্র। ইন আদার ওয়ার্ডস দ্য লর্ড ইজ অলওয়েজ কানেক্টেড টু হিজ ডিভোটিস। The Lord's names, which are infinite in number, are always connected to His transcendental qualities, to His transcendental pastimes, and even to His transcendental devotees. Just like Krishna is also called Partha Sarathi. He was a Sarathi or the charioteer of Partha, Arjuna, who was his devotee and very dear friend. So Arjuna has become immortalized in the Lord's names because the devotees are so dear to the Lord and the Lord also is so dear to the devotees, and because the Lord's names are immortal and everybody chants those names, so because the devotee's name becomes connected to the Lord, the devotees are also immortalized. When Mahaprabhu had asked Ramananda Rai in South India as to who is the most famous person in the world, what is the greatest fame? And Ramananda Rai replied, it's the devotee's fame. Because for worldly people, their fame lasts only for some time. And then it's gone. Look at the example of the great kings, powerful warriors and big scientists and leaders and so on and so forth, who were very famous for a long time, maybe for a few hundred years, few centuries, maybe a few thousand years. But then after that, gone. Nobody knows them. Nobody remembers them. It is like a firefly who blazes a little bit for some time and then is gone. Or like a shooting star, a meteor in the sky that just flashes through the sky for its moment of brightness and glory and then gone. But the devotees' glories and fame are not like that. They endure because the Lord endures and the glories of the Lord endure. Therefore, the glories of the devotees also endure. Thus it is that we see, even after millions and millions of years, even little children in India will know about Prahlad. They may not know who is the Prime Minister or the king, but they know who is Prahlad. So great devotees of the Lord remain glorified forever. In fact, about Prahlad it is said that even when there were gatherings in the heavenly planets and the other higher planets for discussion on spiritual topics, and whenever the topics of the glories of the devotees of the Lord came up, invariably Prahlad's name was and is mentioned. And the pastime of Prahlad being saved by Narsingadev took place many millions of years ago. Which king, which ordinary king is so famous? Which ordinary sports star or music star is so famous? So this is the glory of being a devotee. So just like Arjuna was glorified by being present in Krishna's name, for example, as Partha Sarathi. Similarly, Maharaj Pratap Rudra has been glorified by his name being completely linked to the Lord in this name. So Mahaprabhu's new name was Pratap Rudra Santrata, the deliverer of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. All the governmental officers who had come along with the king also paid their respects to the Lord, and the king and his men were finally bade farewell by the Lord, who went on with his journey. Meanwhile, the king went outside the garden, called together all his officers and gave them instructions to be written down and convey to the other officers in different regions of his kingdom, which Mahaprabhu would be walking through on his way to Vrindavan. And in his orders he said, in every village you should construct new residences, and in 5 or 7 new houses you should store all kinds of food. You should personally take the Lord to these newly constructed houses. Day and night you should engage in his service with a stick in your hands. So not only was Maharaj Pratap Rudra engaged in service to the Lord day and night, but he made sure that his entire governmental machinery was also engaged in the service of the Lord. That is actually the duty of a Raja Rishi, of a king. The king is duty bound to further the cause of real dharma. And to that end, he has to protect the devotees of the Lord and in fact see that they are honored and given facilities for preaching Krishna consciousness everywhere. That is the true duty of a king. Unfortunately, nowadays, it is exactly the opposite. In the name of secularism and in the name of being liberal and broad-minded, so that no one particular religion is favored, we find that even in a place like India, it is not so easy now to enter into the governmental machinery. And then there is so much criticism if the government does anything to favor the cause of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, in order to show that they are neutral and so-called secular, they go to the other extreme. So in this way today, the governmental leaders have gone a long way from what the Shastras advise. The Shastras say that actually the governmental leaders absorb 1/6 of the sin or 1/6 of the piety of the citizens. So if the citizens are going to be sinful, then we can imagine what will happen to the king. So if the cause of Krishna consciousness is promoted very widely within the society, then not only will the praja, the citizens, be benefited, even the king will go back home, back to Godhead for this wonderful service. We see that various religions in the world have really flourished and spread only under political patronage. Of course, ultimately, it happens by spiritual strength. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. That's also mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the propagation of Krishna's holy name takes place only when one is empowered by Krishna. So although the key is spiritual strength, nevertheless at a practical level, it is observed historically that when great kings, powerful kings, have accepted a particular path of religion and they have made it the state religion and have taken great pains to engage the governmental machinery in the propagation of that religion, then that religion has truly spread far and wide. One example is King Ashok. King Ashok was influenced by Buddhist principles, so much so that he converted himself to be a Buddhist. And then he made that the state religion. It is said that he fought a battle at Kalinga, and so many soldiers on both sides were killed, and there was so much of slaughter and bloodshed that the king was very deeply affected by this. And when he encountered the Buddhist principles, then he immediately accepted that. He made that the state religion, and under his patronage, many, many Buddhist monasteries and temples came up, and he sent the Buddhist monks as preachers to different places in Asia, including Southeast Asia, China, and therefore Buddhism really spread practically all over the world at that time, even into the parts of China, Mongolia, and different regions. So therefore, we can see that political patronage plays a very important role. Now even we see other religions, that they are, most of them are spreading because there is shelter given at the governmental level. Unfortunately, Krishna consciousness does not seem to have such shelter in any country, including India. On the contrary, we read reports from different countries of how there is so much persecution of the devotees and the movement at the hands of the government for various reasons. But ultimately, of course, if our practice and preaching of Krishna consciousness remains very pure and very strong and well motivated, then Krishna's mercy, which is all powerful, will enable this movement to spread everywhere and penetrate into everything in every country of the world. It's only a matter of time. It has already been prophesied that the golden age of this age, golden age within this age, has already started with Mahaprabhu's Harinam Sankirtan movement. So it is only a question of us having that faith and perseverance to continue despite the depressing condition of the world outside. If we simply persevere, then the Lord will give credit to His devotees. So it is only up to us. We have a choice to participate in the Lord's movement or to not. Success is assured for the movement. It's only our choice. And if we do participate, we get the credit. Devotees, of course, do not seek credit. But nonetheless, the Lord likes to give credit to His devotees. So we see here in the example of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, what an ideal king he was. He could discriminate real saints from the fake ones. He actually took great pains to practice Krishna consciousness in his own life. And he took pains to propagate this everywhere in his kingdom and to see that the devotees of the Lord were facilitated in every possible way. And then the king ordered two respectable officers named Harichandan and Mardaraj to do whatever was necessary to carry out these orders. The king also ordered them to maintain a new boat on the banks of the river. And wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath or crossed to the other side of the river, they should establish a memorial column and make that place a great place of pilgrimage. Indeed, said the king, I will take my bath there and let me also die there. Nowadays we see monuments of all manner of political leaders. Whoever happens to be a little powerful, his followers will make some statue of him somewhere and block the road or spoil the aesthetics of some beautiful garden. And we have so many such statues put up everywhere. And Prabhupada says in one lecture, and the only benefit of that is that the birds get some place to go, take shelter and do their thing. That's the only benefit there is. There is no other benefit. And then before one day in a year, when that politician's birthday comes along, then a few governmental servants come and clean up that statue from all the bird droppings. And then there is some ceremony, and that particular leader is glorified. And then for 1 year he is again forgotten. So Prabhupada says that the word Jayanti, or birthday, birth anniversary, is applicable only to the Lord and to no one else. But nowadays, so many political leaders, their Jayanti or birth anniversary is celebrated in a big way. So all these memorials are built for different political and industrial leaders. But what about great saintly persons? What about Prabhupada? Which government in the world has made any memorial for Prabhupada? Which government in the world is making any memorial for Mahaprabhu even? Even now, our devotees in Mayapur are having so much difficulty because the local government, which is communist, Marxist, and atheistic, they do not want Mahaprabhu's movement to flourish there. They want to harass and persecute the devotees in so many ways. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra's example is a shining example, is a beacon of light for all the political leaders of this world, of how actually they must not only facilitate preaching, but they must erect memorials. Like Maharaj Pratap Rudra said, that every place that the Lord stops, erect a memorial and let that be a holy place, and I will myself go and take bath at those places. The king continued, At Chaturdwar, please construct new residential quarters. Now, Ramananda, you can return to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when the king heard that the Lord was leaving that evening, He immediately made some arrangements for some elephants with small tents on their backs to be brought there. Then all the ladies of the palace got on the elephants. These ladies also went to the road the Lord was taking and remained there in line. That evening the Lord departed with his devotees. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the bank of the river Chitrotpala to take his bath, all the queens and the ladies of the palace offered their obeisances to him. Upon seeing the Lord, they all felt themselves overwhelmed with love of Godhead, and tears pouring from their eyes, they began to chant the holy name, Krishna, Krishna. There is no one as merciful as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kaviraj Goswami says, within all the three worlds. Simply by seeing him from a distance, one is overwhelmed with love of God. So in this way, not only Maharaj Pratap Rudra was a great devotee, even his queens, his family members, and all the entourage in the palace, they all were great devotees. And they were very fortunate to have had personal darshan of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu went on to his yatra to Vrindavan. He was away for many months, and then he came back to Jagannath Puri. And he continued his pastimes there. He chanted and danced with the devotees, went to take darshan of Lord Jagannath, and so on. And many, many people would come to take darshan of Mahaprabhu. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that not just people from different provinces in India, but even people came from different planetary systems within the universe, like Svargaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Bhuvarloka, even Pataloka, Nagaloka, and they all came disguised as human beings. So nobody could distinguish, nobody could understand who these people are. And they all came and had darshan of Mahaprabhu, especially when he was chanting and dancing, and they felt great ecstatic love for the Lord and went back quietly to their respective abodes. In the Antilila, in this connection, there is one more pastime that is mentioned, that all these things have been going on, Mahaprabhu had been residing there. One time, some devotees came to Mahaprabhu with a complaint. They said that Bhavananda Rai, his son Gopinath Patnaik, has been given a death sentence by the prince, who is the son of the king. And he is about to be condemned to death. Right now he has been raised onto the Changa. The Changa is a raised platform onto which a convict who is sentenced to death is made to stand. And then that platform is removed and he falls down where there are pointed swords that are fixed to the ground pointing upwards. So he falls a great distance onto the pointed sword and is impaled and he is pierced to death. So rather painful way of dying, but that was some of the ways that were used in those days to inflict death punishment. So people came suddenly to Mahaprabhu and said that the king's son has sentenced Gopinath Patnaik, the son of Bhavananda Rai, to death. Now Bhavananda Rai was a great devotee of Mahaprabhu, and he had five sons, one of them being Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai therefore was Bhavananda Rai's son, and he was Gopinath Patanayak's brother. So Bhavananda Rai had five sons, and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami quotes Mahaprabhu personally as saying that Bhavananda Rai is none other than Pandu, Maharaj Pandu, and his five sons are none other than the Pandavas. We have already heard that Maharaj Pratap Rudra is considered none other than Arjun, and sometimes also Lalita Sakhi. So Gopinath Patanayak had been so sentenced, and then Ramananda Rai, Bhavananda Rai, these people said, they are your very dear servants, and it is quite befitting that you should save them from the king's wrath. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, what is the reason for this punishment? And then the people described the entire incident. They said that Gopinath Pattanaik, the brother of Ramananda Rai, had been one of the treasurers of King Prataparudra. And he had served in a particular province, and his duty had been to collect the taxes from one place and to deposit that with the government treasury. But somehow or other, there was some deficit in the balance that he submitted to the government. And he fell short by an amount of 200,000 kahanas. It's some unit of currency that was used in those days. So it was a fairly large amount. Although for Maharaj Prataparudra, he was much wealthier than that. But still, because 200,000 was still a significant amount, Gopinath Pattanaik was asked to pay up. So Gopinath Pattanaik replied that, I have no money at this moment, but I have some horses which are very fine, and I will sell these horses to you, and you can deduct the amount, the price of these horses from the amount I owe you, and the balance sum, then I will pay you over a period of time. So the king sent his son, who knew something about horses, to go and check and to evaluate what price was proper for these price for these horses. And there were about 10 or 12 horses. So this prince came there. He knew how to estimate the prices well, but deliberately he quoted a very low price for these horses. Now Gopinath Pattanaik was very close to the king. So when he saw that the prince was trying to cheat him like this, then he became a little angry. Now the prince had a little idiosyncrasy, he had a little quirk. He sometimes did some strange thing. He would turn his neck every now and then and look up at the sky. Sometimes some people, they move the body in such a way every now and then. So it's a particular habit that just gets formed and it continues. So this prince had this habit that he would sometimes turn his head and look up at the sky, and then he would look here and there up. It was a kind of strange behavior that he exhibited every now and then. So in his little anger, Gopinath Pattanaik began to taunt. He taunted the prince. And he said, then my horses, they never turn the necks and look upward. Therefore the price for them should not be reduced. He wanted to say that these horses were more valuable than the prince. That at least my horses don't do looking up like this and left and right. So you are underestimating the value of the horses. The prince became very angry to hear this criticism. So he went up to his father, the king, Maharaj Prataparudra, and made some false allegations against Gopinath Pattanaik. And he said, this Gopinath Pattanaik is unwilling to pay the money, which is not a fact. Gopinath Pattanaik was willing. But he said, I'm giving you these horses, settle that amount, and whatever is left, I will pay you later. But the prince, because he was angry with Gopinath Pattanaik, went and presented things in this way. And he said, Gopinath is not willing to give the money. Instead, he's squandering it under some pretext. If you issue an order, then I can put him on the changa and then realize the money. The changa means the death platform of death. So the king didn't actually want to sentence him to death, of course. But he thought that the prince just wants to extract the money and he wants to threaten him so that he will pay up. So the king said, you can adopt whatever means you think best. Any device by which you can somehow or other realize the money is all right. But the king had never said you should sentence him to death. So the prince went back and told Gopinath Pattanaik that the king has said that you should be raised up on the changa. So immediately, with no loss of time, Gopinath Pattanaik was raised up on the changa. Then after hearing this explanation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that Gopinath Patanaik does not want to pay money to the king, and therefore the king is punishing him. So what is the king's fault in this? The king has not made any mistake. Gopinath Patanaik is in charge of collecting money for the king, but he misappropriates that money. He squanders it here and there. Not fearing the king, he squanders it on dancing girls. This is what Mahaprabhu is saying. So if one is intelligent, let him perform the service to the government, and after paying the government, then he can spend whatever money is left. So Mahaprabhu didn't seem to be very supportive towards Gopinath's plight. And then another person came in a great hurry, bringing the news that Gopinath Patanayak's brother, Baninath Rai, that he and his family had also been arrested. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued to stick with his stand. He said, "The king must personally realize the money that is due. I am but a sannyasi, a member of the renounced order. So what can I do in all these situations?" Then all the devotees headed by Swarup Damodar, they fell at his feet and begged. They said, "All the members of Ramananda Rai's family are very dear to you. They are your eternal servants. And now they are in danger. So it is not befitting for you to be indifferent to their plight." So then Mahaprabhu became angry. He said, "You want me to go and order the king. Your opinion is that I should go to the king and spread my cloth and beg money from him, equal to the money that is owed by Gopinath Patanaik to the king. It's all right for a sannyasi to go begging, but he should take just a small amount of money that is necessary for his maintenance, that's all. But 200,000 kahanas is completely inappropriate for a sannyasi to go and ask." And then another person came, and he came in a great haste, and he said that Gopinath Patanaik is up on the changa. Any moment he will be killed. So then the Lord replied, "I am a beggar. It is impossible for me to do anything about this. Therefore, if you want to save Gopinath Patanaik, you must go and pray to Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath is the only one who can save him. I am unable to do anything. Lord Jagannath is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is perfectly capable and free to do anything he likes. If he wants to save his devotee, then he will do so." So all the devotees were bewildered. They rushed to Lord Jagannath. Meanwhile, even as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking in this way, one of the officers of the king, called Harichandan Patra, went to the king and spoke. He said, "Oh, my dear Maharaj Pratap Rudra, after all, Gopinath Patanaik is your faithful servant. To condemn a servant like this to death is not a good proposal. His only fault is that he owes some money to the government. If he is killed, what profit can there be? Then you won't even realize your money. So it is better to take the horses from him at the proper price. Why do you unnecessarily kill him?" The king was surprised. He was shocked. He said, "I did not know about all this. Why should his life be taken? I only want the money from him. Go there and adjust everything. I only want the payment, not his life." Harichandan then returned and informed the prince of the king's desire, and immediately Gopinath Patanaik was taken down from the changa in the nick of time. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra meanwhile was shocked that his son had actually gone and put Gopinath Patanaik on the changa. Then he was told that the king had demanded the money due to him and what means he would adopt to pay it. "Kindly take my horses for a proper price," Gopinath replied, "and I shall gradually pay the balance. Without consideration, however, you are going to take my life. What can I say?" So the government then negotiated a fair and reasonable price for the horses, and the balance amount was due to be paid by Gopinath Patanaik at the proper time. Then Mahaprabhu inquired from the messenger, "What was Vaninath Patanaik doing, Vaninath Rai doing at the time when he was arrested?" So the messenger replied that he was fearlessly and constantly chanting Krishna's names. And once he chants 1,000 names, he makes a particular mark on his body and goes on chanting like this. So hearing this news, Mahaprabhu was very, very happy. And Kaviraj Goswami says, who can understand the mercy of the Lord upon his devotees? At that time, Maharaj Pratap Rudra went to Kashi Mishra's residence. As has been mentioned before, Kashi Mishra was like the guru of the king. And it was Maharaj Pratap Rudra's daily practice that he would go to the abode, to the residence of Kashi Mishra, and he would massage his lotus feet. And then he would inquire about the service of Lord Jagannath on a daily basis. And on this occasion, when Maharaj Pratap Rudra said and he inquired, then Kashi Mishra started speaking with him. He said, I had gone to see the Lord, and the Lord was very agitated when he spoke to me. The Lord said that I cannot stay here a moment longer. I wish to go to Alalnath. Alalnath is some distance away from Jagannath Puri, where the Lord used to stay at the time when Lord Jagannath did not give darshan between the Snan Yatra and the Rath Yatra, because he could not bear to be in separation from Jagannath and not have his darshan. So Mahaprabhu had told Kashi Mishra that there are too many disturbances here. All the family members of Bhavananda Rai are involved in government service, but they spend the government's revenue in various ways. What is the fault on the part of the king? He wants the government's money. However, when they are punished for failing to pay the government its due, these people come to me to rescue them. When the king put Gopinath Pattanayak on the changa, messengers came 4 times to inform me about this. As a mendicant, as a sannyasi, I wish to live alone in a solitary place. But these people always come to me and harass me in this way and cause me unhappiness, and they disturb me. Jagannath has saved him once from death. But if tomorrow again he does not pay what he owes the treasury, then who will give him protection? If I hear about the materialistic activities of persons like this, my mind becomes agitated. There is no need for me to stay here, so now I wish to go to Alalnath. Kashi Mishra caught hold of the Lord's lotus feet and said, why should you be agitated by these affairs? You are a renounced sannyasi. What connections do you have? One who worships you for some material purpose is blind to his spiritual welfare. So one engages in devotional service for your satisfaction. The result will be one will awaken his dormant Krishna consciousness. But if one engages in your devotional service for some material purposes, he should be considered a great fool. It is only for your sake that Ramananda Rai has given up his governorship of Vidyanagar, and he has come here to serve you. It is for your sake only that Raghunath Das Goswami has given up the pleasures of Indra to come and serve you. Because he has received the mercy of your lotus feet, he does not even accept his own father's money. So Gopinath Pattanayak is a good gentleman. He does not desire material benedictions from you. It is not Gopinath who has sent all these people to you. These people have come of their own accord. Rather, Gopinath is a soul surrendered to you. He is a pure devotee who worships you only for your satisfaction. He does not care about his personal happiness or distress. And then Kashi Mishra quoted that famous verse, Tattenukampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagvapurbhir vidadhan namaste jivetaya mukti pade sadaya bhag. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, body and words, and who always offers obeisances unto you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for becoming your unalloyed devotee. So please stay here in Jagannath Puri. Do not go to Alalnath. Why should you go there? Henceforward, no one will approach you with all these material affairs. Then Kashi Mishra told Mahaprabhu, if you want to give protection to Gopinath, then Lord Jagannath, who protected him today, will also protect him in the future. Then Kashi Mishra left. So Kashi Mishra narrated this whole conversation to Maharaj Pratap Rudra as the king was massaging his feet. And then the king was very disturbed to hear this. And the king replied, he actually glorified the king and said that the king actually supported you and was glorifying you, but he was criticizing Gopinath Patanayak. When King Pratap Rudra heard all these details, he felt great pain in his mind. I shall give up all that is due from Gopinath Patanayak. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will stay here at Jagannath Puri, what is the price of 200,000 kahanas? That is insignificant for me. As far as Mahaprabhu's criticism of Gopinath, Mahaprabhu had been very strong. He said Mahaprabhu was feeling great anger. And he criticized Gopinath and said, because he is mad after sense gratification, he acts as a government servant, but he spends the government's revenue for various sinful activities. And then Mahaprabhu made a very surprising statement. He said, the revenue of the government is more sacred than the property of a Brahmana. One who misappropriates the government's money and uses it to enjoy sense gratification is most sinful. One who serves the government but misappropriates the government's revenue is liable to be punished by the king. That is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. It's quite instructive. Especially government officials must read this good instruction. In this surprising statement, Mahaprabhu says, stealing the king's revenue, the government's revenue, is even more sinful than stealing a Brahmana's property. Generally, stealing a Brahmana's property is considered to be very sinful, and one is immediately punished. But because the king uses the revenue he earns for the welfare of the public, of the praja, of the citizens, for the propagation of dharma, therefore it is also sinful to steal the king's money, which is actually Krishna's money. All the property in the kingdom is supposed to vest with the king alone. Private proprietorship is only a practical convenience. But in Vedic culture, even though there may have been different landlords who were supposedly owning different properties, but ultimately the real owner was the king. And even then, it was not the king's, it was actually the lord's. And the lord was the holder of the property on behalf of, the king was the holder of the property on behalf of the lord. Therefore, the king was called Naradeva, the lord in human form. This is not Mayavad philosophy, it just means that the king represents the lord. And he is the one who executes and implements the will of the Lord in the country or in the kingdom. Till recently even, the king of Nepal was revered as good as Lord Vishnu. But now, of course, by the influence of Kali Yuga, the Marxists have become very powerful and they have dethroned the king. And the king also may not be ideal. That is also a problem of Kali Yuga. So we have the unique situation where everyone is crazy, everyone is demoniac, and therefore this democracy, Prabhupada says, is demon crazy. Where we have demoniac people who are all crazy, all trying to grab power, where nobody is interested about the welfare of the citizens at large. And even those who are in the service of the government, they are always busy taking bribes, usurping other people's properties and monies. So how can there be piety in such a land where so much sinful activity goes on? So the king replied to Kashi Mishra, If even for a moment I could get an interview with the Lord, I would not care for the profit of millions of Chintamani stones. I do not care about this small sum of 200,000 kahanas. What to speak of this? I will indeed sacrifice everything at the lotus feet of the Lord, including my life and kingdom. So Kashi Mishra hinted to the king. He said, "My dear king, it is not the Lord's desire that you forfeit the payment. He is only unhappy because Bhavananda Rai's family is troubled." So the king replied, "I have no desire to give pain to Gopinath Pattanayak and his family, nor did I know about him being sentenced to death in this manner. He sneered at my son, Purushottam Jana. Therefore the prince tried to scare him as a punishment. Go personally to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and keep him at Jagannath Puri with great attention. I shall excuse Gopinath Pattanayak from this offense." So Kashi Mishra replied, "Excusing Gopinath Pattanayak of his debts will make the Lord unhappy, for that is not his intention." But the king nevertheless said, "I shall absolve Gopinath Pattanayak of all his debts, but don't speak of this to the Lord. Simply let him know that the family members of Bhavananda Rai, including Gopinath Pattanayak, are very dear to him. They are worthy of my respect, and because I am naturally very affectionate to them, therefore I am doing this. I am not doing this because I think that Mahaprabhu wants me to excuse the debt of Gopinath." So then Kashi Mishra left, or rather the king left Kashi Mishra, and he called for both Gopinath and the eldest prince. And he told Gopinath, "You are excused of your debts, and you will be reinstated in your service as a tax collector in the place where you were before. And perhaps you were misappropriating money because the salary I was giving you was insufficient. So now I will double your salary." And plus, to honor him, he tied a silk turban to his head. And he actually sent him back doubly honored. "Now you go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take permission from him and go on to your home. I bid you farewell. Please leave." So by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can become spiritually advanced. But even materially, simply when the Lord heard about what happened to Gopinath Pattanayak, Gopinath achieved the results of kingly opulence just by a glimpse of the Lord's mercy. Therefore, no one can evaluate the full value of the Lord's mercy. This is how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami sees this whole episode. He says Gopinath was about to be killed, but just see the twists and turns of fortune. And now he is reinstated with honor. His silk turban is tied to his head, and his salary is doubled, and he is excused of all his past debts. It was not the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Gopinath should be excused in this way. Nor was it his desire that his salary should be doubled or that he should have a silk turban. But simply because Mahaprabhu heard about this, these are the results that took place. So Kaviraj Goswami goes on to explain how when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this, he was a little disturbed, and he told Kashi Mishra that, "Kashi Mishra, what have you done? You have indirectly made me take help from the king, because you have excused the debts of Gopinath. So it is as if I have taken that debt on myself, and because of me the Lord has excused, that king has excused him." So Kashi Mishra said that, "My dear Lord, please hear my statement. It is not because of you that the king has excused Gopinath Pattanayak. Actually, it is because he holds Bhavananda Rai and his family members in such regard that he has done this." And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somewhat pacified, and he began to consider in his mind that It was all right, everything was nice, and at that time Bhavananda Rai came there with his sons. They all offered their prostrated obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said that it is only by your mercy that we have been saved from this great danger. Therefore you have purchased us for a proper price. You have now demonstrated your love for your devotees, just as when you previously saved the 5 Pandavas from great danger. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is incomparable. Nobody can understand. And all the devotees who came there, Bhavananda Rai and the others, began to glorify the Lord as if they had many, many mouths. Gopinath Patanayak said, "My dear Lord, the mercy that you have granted to me now is something incidental, although it is very great. But the real mercy that I want from you is the mercy that you have given to my brothers Ramananda Rai and Vaninath." Because Ramananda Rai was such a great devotee of the Lord, we have heard so much about him. And Vaninath Rai also, we just heard that even in the most difficult and adverse situation, Vaninath Rai was completely fearless and he was constantly chanting Krishna's name. He was completely detached from the bodily condition of life. So Gopinath Patanayak said that I want that kind of mercy from you which will give me that kind of renunciation and devotion. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "If all of you adopt the renounced order and lose interest in dealing with pounds, shillings and pence, as Prabhupada says, then who will take charge of maintaining your large family? Whether you are involved in material activities or completely renounced, you 5 brothers are all my eternal associates, birth after birth. However, just obey one order from me. Do not spend any of the king's revenue. First, you should pay the king the revenue that you owe him, and then you may spend the balance money for religious and fruitive activities. Don't spend a farthing for sinful activities, for which you will be the loser both in this life and the next." After saying this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade them farewell. So this is a message for everyone. Devotees also all the time handle money, whether it is one's own money or whether it is the temple's money. So none of this temple should ever be used, none of this money should ever be used for sense gratification. It should always be used for religious activities. And especially for devotees who handle money in the temple, one has to be so careful that one does not misappropriate any amount of money for oneself. Rather, everything should be used only for Krishna's service. Mahaprabhu gave this solemn instruction to Gopinath Patanayak, who was doing a little this and that with the king's money, even though he was an eternal servant of the Lord, and Mahaprabhu sent him away. There was a similar such pastime that came up when Kamalakanta Vishwas, the secretary of Advaita Acharya, wrote a letter to the king saying that Advaita Acharya is actually Mahavishnu, but also that he is in debt of 300 rupees. So please do something to relieve that debt. So he was asking that the king can pay back this 300 rupees to the person who had lent Advaita Acharya that money. Somehow or other, this letter that Kamalakanta Vishwas had written to the king came into the hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was very upset to read this letter. He says, "Who is this Kamalakanta Vishwas? He is behaving like a Baula." Baula is one of those upper sampradaya people who speak something that is not correct. He said, on one hand, he praises Advaita Acharya as being Mahavishnu, which is correct, I agree. And on the other hand, he says that he is in debt of 300 rupees. So he is portraying that the Lord is poor, that the Lord is a debtor. So Prabhupada mentions that this is the modern concept nowadays, propagated by certain political leaders of Daridra Narayan, that all the poor people are also a form of Narayan, but in poor form, Daridra. So Prabhupada says that Narayan is never Daridra, he is never poor, he is the Lord of Lakshmi, so he is always full in all opulences. So Mahaprabhu then forbade Kamalakanta Vishwas to come into his company. Kamalakanta Vishwas was very hurt with this. Advaita Acharya came to the Lord and said, "My Lord, what have I done? What offense have I done against you that you should give this kind of mercy to Kamalakanta Vishwas to forbid him from your company, whereas to me you don't give me any such instruction?" So the thinking of great devotees like Advaita Acharya is inconceivable. So he understood that Mahaprabhu actually gave his mercy to Kamalakanta Vishwas by chastising him in this way. And then Mahaprabhu explained to Advaita Acharya why he had done this. And there was some transcendental exchange between Advaita Acharya and Mahaprabhu. So anyway, our Maharaj Pratap Rudra, somehow it appears, may have not got the opportunity to free Advaita Acharya of that debt. And Mahaprabhu was very conscious that neither himself nor his devotee should become obliged to a king in this way. And Prabhupada mentions that one should be very careful whose charity one accepts. And he actually goes on to say that if one accepts the charity of a person who is a sense gratifier, then that is not at all good, because that will affect our own mind. In fact, Mahaprabhu says, "Vishair anna khaile dushta haya man." So one should not accept charity from a sense gratifier. And if one's mind is polluted, then one cannot remember Krishna. And if one cannot remember Krishna, then one's life is unsuccessful. So Mahaprabhu set standards about how devotees should conduct themselves. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, although he was externally dealt with by Mahaprabhu in certain ways, but he actually had the very deep mercy of the Lord. Maharaj Pratap Rudra certainly made his life very successful. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat it is mentioned that Mahaprabhu confidentially met with Pratap Rudra Maharaj and told him that actually the only reason I have come to Jagannath Puri is to meet Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai and you. That was the glory of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed from this world, Maharaj Pratap Rudra could not bear that separation. And the only reason he could continue to live was because of the association of Ramananda Rai. And in the Bhakti Ratnakar, this is described. And it also says that after some time, Maharaj Pratap Rudra even left Jagannath Puri to go away to some other place, because he could not tolerate being there. And he passed his last days in intense remembrance of the Lord. Maharaj Pratap Rudra ki jai, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. So with this we conclude our discussions on the glories of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. Are there any other questions or comments? Yes. The question is that it was said during the lecture that one should not accept charity from those who are sinful. So here, does it refer to charity for oneself or charity for Krishna? Certainly one should not accept charity for oneself from sinful persons, because we take all that karma. But also when it comes to taking charity for Krishna, although many times we have no idea of knowing who has given the charity, or what kind of activities that person has in his private life. So to some extent, we are handicapped by lack of understanding of the source of that income and the consciousness of the person who is giving that money. Nevertheless, because we are entirely using that for Krishna's service, so we are protected. Nevertheless, we should still be a little cautious. Even though something is being used for Krishna, still somehow if there is some way that we can keep it a little pure as far as is possible. The struggle for existence in this world is very hard, and in the modern day and age, to keep everything going financially is also a great challenge. And nowadays everything is tainted with sin in Kali Yuga. There is hardly any source of income or any means of earning income which is completely pure. So therefore there is some degree of some limitation here to how much we can follow. But our effort should be that even when we take money for Krishna, we should try to see that that money is as pure as possible, as sattvic as possible. Yes, Dikshit. The question here is that he said you should not accept money from a sense gratifier, but Maharaj Pratap Rudra was a great devotee. So how does one explain this contradiction? As I have mentioned, only externally Mahaprabhu behaved like that towards Maharaj Pratap Rudra because he wanted to set the standard. Because generally kings are like this, they are sense gratifiers, generally. And Pratap Rudra Maharaj was a rare exception. So internally Mahaprabhu showered his mercy upon the king, but externally he had to behave in such a way as to set the proper example for the people at large. Yes, one last question. So when somebody sponsors prasadam for the devotees, we don't know who is sponsoring. So what is the result of that? Of course, because it is being offered to Krishna and Krishna has accepted it, so we are taking Krishna prasadam. But nevertheless, there are degrees of purity. The best form of charity is the one that is given by someone who is very pure and whose income source is also very pure. When it is given with devotion, the income also is pure, and that money is used to buy bhoga and offered lovingly to Lord Krishna, and then that is taken lovingly as Krishna prasadam. That is the best. So there are degrees and degrees. So we should try as far as possible to see that we move to a platform of as much purity as is practically possible in this day and age. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we will meet again tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Hare Krishna.